I remember a missionary one time came to a men's retreat. We were he was speaking at, and he was telling a story about a lion. A doctor and his wife had traveled to Africa to go hunting lions. And in Africa, when you're there, you got to keep the fire burning all night to keep the lions out of your camp. And they got there, and the first night they got there, they were so tired from their travel and everything, they climbed into their tents, and the fire started going out. They forgot to put wood in the fire. It kept going out. A little bit at a time, it started flickering down to nothing. And later that night, a lion had snuck into camp, and this is a true story, and lifted up that tent and pulled the doctor out by his head, killed him, and drug him away. And you know something? We have to be careful that the fire doesn't go out. Don't we? If you lose the fire, the devil's going to come in and take you by the head and destroy you. Because where is the battle? It's usually in the mind, the head, isn't it? And that's why if you and I do not work to keep the fire going, we need to work to keep that fire. We need to be in the Word. We need to be in prayer. We need to be in fellowship, and we need to pass out those tracts. That's what keeps the fire going when you keep it in your attention that there's lost souls out there. There's lost souls. Every time your hand went out, you're believing. You know, I pick up pennies all the time. And, of course, if it's a quarter, I'll pick those up too. But you know something? Every time I pick up a penny, I say to myself, God picks up souls. A penny. See, a penny is worthless to most people. That's why you can find them on the ground everywhere. They won't even bend down to pick them up. And you know, you and I were at that, like that penny at one time in our life. Nobody cared. Nobody knew the trials, the tribulations that we were in. And we were being destroyed, and people toss us away. Friends leave us. Family reject us. We're like that penny. But see, God reached down and He picked us up. And every time I pick up a penny, I think of that. How at one time I was like that penny, and God never quits picking up pennies. Never. And I will pick up a penny and try to get to that penny as hard as I can. And then I'll say, God picks up souls. And I was one of them. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's a little story I read on my Facebook this morning. Teacher, can you see the teacher saying this? To the students, can you see God? Class, no. Teacher, can you touch God? Class, no. Teacher, then there isn't a God. Student raises their hand. Sir, can you see your brain? Teacher, no. Student, can you touch your brain? Teacher, no. Student, oh, okay, so you don't have a brain. I liked it. I thought it was... Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we praise you and thank you for being here with us today through your Holy Spirit power. Father, I believe you're even moving in every individual room in this motel this morning, wooing hearts to come to know you through whatever circumstance, however way you're going to do it, Father. But I believe you're at work in the hearts of man because you love your creation. I also believe that there's a demonic onslaught against the family of God because Satan knows his time is short. And Father, I would ask right now that your Holy Spirit power, even in this room here today again, that the Holy Spirit will bring comfort to those that are fighting struggles in their lives this morning. Satan is a liar. And we rebuke him from this place in the name of Jesus while we're in here, that we may worship you with hearts that are focused totally on you, that we will walk out in victory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The victory at Calvary. Satan has no right, he has no authority over the believer, no matter what he may claim or contend. Amen? Amen. He doesn't have any right. It's just like Bob was saying in his little thing this morning too, that Satan's teeth, he doesn't have any teeth. Jesus took them away. He can only gum us to death. And I tell you what, he has no authority. Don't let him tell you that. You know, there's people today that would say that, you know, where is God? What's happening in this whole world? Why is all this stuff? It seems like we win on no fronts. But you know something? God is at work. He is at work. No matter what we see around us or what's happening around us, God is at work. That is Satan lying to our minds to discourage us, because there's Christians quitting on God today. They're quitting. They're saying, what's the use? And it's a dangerous place to be. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. You know, I was thinking when I read that first part, today, you know, the world, the hearts of man is getting harder and harder because of the way the world is getting. Even within the church, hearts are getting harder and harder. People are looking for this great revival. I believe that there's going to be that great falling away, and I believe hearts are getting harder and harder, especially in America, where we have a church on every corner, where we have Bibles in every store, just about Walmart, Sam's, everybody's got Bibles. Kmart's, they all got them. You can get the Word of God wherever you want, yet man is rejected. You know, I walked up to a young guy one day, and I said, here, would you like to read this tract right here? And he says, no, I don't want nothing to do with it. He already knew what it was. But see, I gave him an opportunity, but I could tell his heart was hard. And the more they hear the gospel, the more they're approached by it, the more they walk away from it, their hearts get harder. And I tell you what, I don't want to be here when the wrath of God is poured on this earth. I don't want to be here. And it's coming. It's coming soon. Jesus is coming. The world is being primed for it. And I tell you what, it's an exciting time for the Christian, because our salvation is, completeness is drawn nigh really fast. And it's exciting to be part of the world at this time. And I don't hear too many amens on that one, but I tell you what, we should be, because we are the body of Christ. And God, He created us for this time and this place. You know, some of us say, boy, I'd be better during Wyatt Earp's time. You know something? God created me for this world at this time that I live in it. He created me to handle the things that are going on in my life at this time of my life in this world, because He knows. He's got a purpose for me for now. Not back then, not way down the road should He tarry, but for now. But I firmly believe Jesus is coming back. I can hear it from a lot of the well-known theologians, Bible professionals that study the Bible every day on prophecy and everything. I tell you, the world is not the same, and the things that are happening are coming closer and closer together. So, brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, keep your hearts right. The trumpet's going to sound. It says, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. I like that, how the scripture says, the glorious gospel of Christ. Have we lost the fire to be able to say that, the glorious gospel? You know, when you share the gospel with somebody, you should have that in your spirit, that it's a glorious gospel. You know? You should have a hop in your feet when you're witnessing, when you're telling people, I've got some good news to tell you. Praise the Lord. See, the world, I looked up in the concordance in there, where in the world here, it says, in whom the god of this world. And I thought, the god of this world, small g, by the way, in your Bible there, is the word aeon. Literally means a period of time. That's what world means there, a period of time. Satan only has a period of time, and it's coming to an end mighty fast. He is a troublemaker, a trespasser on God's earth, and has claimed to be the king of this earth. But brothers and sisters, he's no king of mine. He's no king of mine. He's no master of mine. He is no lord of mine. He is not the object of my allegiance and my loyalty whatsoever. Satan has nothing to do with me. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. This is God's, even though Satan is here ruling right now. It belongs to God. And again, it says in Psalms 89, 11, the heavens are yours. The earth is also is yours. The world in all its fullness, you have founded them. That's the God we serve. He owns this earth. He's going to clean it up one day. He's got the rights. And I tell you what, when God cleans, it's going to be a great cleaning. Amen? Yeah. It's going to be a great cleaning. To believe Satan is the king of this world is treason to the cross, because Jesus refused to bow down and worship Satan in the wilderness. Matthew 4, 8 through 10 says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Yes. That's how Jesus handled the devil. Get thee hence, Satan. We need to say that more. As Christians, we need to say, get thee hence, Satan. I will not worship. Many times we allow Satan into our homes through what we watch, what we read, what we think, what we do. And we have to tell Satan to get thee hence out of my home. We need to do it. And we wonder why Satan has control of certain areas of our lives sometimes. We need to tell him to get lost using the word of God. Amen? Amen. Just think, Jesus doing so, he could have, if Jesus would have bowed and did, he could have avoided the cross. He could have avoided betrayal, rejection, despisement. He could have avoided all that stuff. And I was thinking how many times today even Christians do that. They avoid the cross today. Even in our witness and our living our life out in this world, we avoid those things because we do not follow through in what the Holy Spirit many times is telling us to do. When he'll speak to us, say, you need to share your faith over here. Or you need to go over here. You need to go here. When God gives you and I opportunities and we back away from it, we avoid what Jesus had to go through. We avoid persecution, we avoid trouble, we avoid betrayal, we avoid family problems, friend problems, we avoid all that, and life is just kind of cool and easy for us, and we think this is all right, and then we come to church and do our church thing. But you know something, when we're out in that world, that's where the real test of who we are in Christ is at, is when we're around people all every week. And that's where we should be giving our lives and spending our time. And we're going to be rejected. We can lose our jobs for it. We can lose a lot of things. We can lose families, friends, opportunities, promotions, and all that stuff. But I'll tell you what, when Jesus comes back, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. Because it's just for a short time here. But see, that's what Jesus didn't do. He didn't bow down and worship Satan. And I don't want to bow down and worship Satan in my life every day during the day. If I see somebody needs the gospel and I sense in my heart, Lord, you want me to speak to that person, I want to be obedient and go and speak to them. And they may reject me, they may get angry at me or whatever it is, but so what? Jesus said it's going to happen. Most of us, I was just listening to a pastor this week on the radio too, and he made a statement. He said, where have all the Christians gone? Where have all the Christians gone? And you know, when he said that, I related with that, because there was a period of time in the past decades where it seemed like Christians were out really doing their thing. They were out sharing the gospel. They were living the life, and there seemed there was a move of God across the land. And today, it doesn't seem like that's happening anymore. It seems like we become more community than we are witnesses for Jesus. More community to draw attention to the church, but not to Jesus. And Jesus called us to be witnesses in this world, not to be community. Most of us see the cross for the sacrifice Christ made for our sins, demonstrations of God's unconditional love for us. And it was, wasn't it? It's certainly true. It's an unconditional love. There's nothing you and I can do that will make God stop loving us. Isn't that incredible? What a God we serve. And while I was yet a sinner, rebellious toward God, God looks down and says, I love Lynn Diekman. I love him. I'm going to go after him. I'm going to, Holy Ghost, go start working on that guy. And then Jesus comes and dies on the cross. So I have an opportunity to repent of my sins. Amen? Every one of you, God was after because he loved you. No matter how creepy and stinky and rotten you all are. Mud. Okay, I'll stop there. I'm part of that mud, by the way. But there was an unseen cosmic spiritual war waged that day when Jesus was on the cross. You know, I was thinking about that, and I was wondering, I could see all of God's multitudes, millions and millions of angels on one side, and Satan's, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of demons, whatever numbers that would be, on the other side facing off, looking each other's when Jesus was on that cross, because Jesus would have just had to move his lips a little bit and say, come and get me off this cross. And I can imagine that demonic warfare that was that Jesus was in the middle of at that point. It must have been an incredible thing that if you could have looked into the spiritual realm on that day when he was hanging on that cross. On Calvary, Jesus defeated Satan. Jesus came off the cross victorious over the devil and his demonic brood. He got off that cross. God gave the verdict of Satan's crime in Eden at the fall of man and found him guilty. It says in Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Lord is saying to Satan, you used the woman to bring down the human race. And I will use the woman as an instrument to bring the Redeemer into the world who will save the human race. Do you see why Satan hates women? He hates women. One of God's greatest creations is the woman. He sent his Redeemer to this earth through a woman. Isn't that amazing? Satan has got an extra hatred, I believe, for women because of that. Because his defeat was because how God sent his Redeemer into this world. The judgment was implemented at Calvary. As strong as the devil is, he's been overcome and defeated by one stronger. I like in your song today, ladies, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, the devil. That's why you can call upon the name of Jesus, because he is greater. And just think, he lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The devil has never been nor ever will be equal in power with God. And again, I want to mention, some will say, well, you know, in this dark world we're living in, even what happened this week, where's God? We're losing on every corner. Every battle seems like we're defeated. I wonder, the people during Jesus' time thought the same thing as Jesus was going to the cross. He comes in the world and they thought he's going to be the king of kings on this earth, and he's going to rule and reign on this earth, and people followed him. But every turn, he was persecuted. He was beaten. Satan tried to kill him several times on the way to the cross. And I bet the people around him were saying, how come we can't win here? I thought Jesus was supposed to be this powerful God sent from heaven to be the ruler of this world, and it seems like he's defeated every step of the way. Who are we following? I'm getting frustrated. That's how Satan works. There's Christians today that are to that point are so frustrated that they see God not moving, and reality is, but they're frustrated, and they're saying, might as well quit. Might as well give up. That's Satan. He's gumming you. I'll deceive him. That's what I'll do. But you know, all the bad things that was happening toward Jesus on the way to Calvary's cross is the same thing that we're witnessing today in this world. A lot of bad things going on all around us, and it seems like we're losing, but we're not. It's all in God's mighty plan. What looks like tragedy to us in reality is victory toward going home to heaven. And yeah, there's a lot of heartache, and I believe God doesn't love that heartache, and He doesn't want it, but we're in an imperfect world, a sinful world, and God has got a purpose and a plan, and everything has its purpose in this world, leading us toward that alternative of eternity with Jesus forever. That's why when I see the bad things happening around the world, it doesn't make me dismayed about who God is. It makes me realize that He's at work. His plan is unfolding rapidly, and it's happening faster and faster as we draw close to His soon return. Some say, I can't overcome the temptation of the devil. The devil's got a hold of me and won't turn loose. The devil makes me do bad things. John 10:29 says, My Father which gave them to me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. But you know something? Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I cannot stand before God someday and say, God, I can't break loose of whatever this thing is in my life. I can't. Satan has got a hold on me and I can't break loose. Yes, we can. If you're blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled, pew-jumping Christian, you got the power. It's living in you. And you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength, and you do that through this. Amen. That's how Jesus did it. I read that. He defeated us. Get thee hence, Satan. If a Christian has pornography, and there are Christians, pastors and evangelists and missionaries that are battling pornography, they said, I can't get away from it. Yes, they can. They need to return to the Word. If there's a bad habit in your life, you can get rid of it. You go to the Word. You want to know something? When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your heart and your spirit, and He starts convicting you in a non-conditional love, that's power coming into you to be able to overcome. It's not a hateful thing. It's not an angry thing with a big rod. I'm going to beat you if you keep doing that. It has nothing to do with that with Jesus. It's a conviction, a loving conviction from a holy God that says, don't do that. It hurts me, and it's killing you for all eternity. Please don't do that. I'm going to convict your heart every time you do it. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. So yes, you can overcome these things, situations, habits, bad things in your life. The devil has no power over you. The victory was won on the cross. Satan's lying. That's the only way he can keep us bound in habits, bound in bad things, bound in bad spending habits, bound in lying, bound in many, many different sins that you and I find ourselves in, sometimes not sins, just hard things of life. But we have the victory through Jesus. We got the victory through Jesus. We'll have to sing that song, Amy, sometime. Victory in Jesus. Amen. I still remember our pastor when I was a brand new Christian, my wife and I, Pastor Al Eden from Waxahachie, Texas. I said that fast, didn't I? Waxahachie, Texas. He had this big old soft plush chair up on the altar up there, and he'd sit in that thing Sunday after Sunday, and he loved that song, Victory in Jesus. And he had the choir sing it. He had that, I don't know how many times he sung that, but his little big old rosy cheeks were just red and his tears coming down his eyes every time. And he had his fist on the sides doing like this while we were singing, because he walked in victory. And you know something? I love that man, because he was an example of Jesus to me at that time of my life, a mentor as a pastor, because he didn't just talk about it from the pulpit. He lived it every day out away from the pulpit. I tell you what, you couldn't go anywhere without talking about Jesus. That's why the man walked in victory. At evenings, we would go out to pizza with him. What did we talk about? Jesus!
Amen.
I said it louder than Ruth, but it's Jesus. I tell you what, that's what we need to do. We need to talk about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus. We're not doing the things we shouldn't be doing. And not only that, the fire isn't going out, where the lion can come in and grab you by the head. Because if you're talking about Jesus, you're excited, because there's power in that name. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Those who say or think or believe these things do not fully understand what took place at Calvary. We don't. the power of darkness, the powers of darkness was conquered at the cross. It was all conquered there. Jesus did it. We don't use the blood. There's power in the blood. There's power in the name. There's power in the Holy Ghost. Those were all at the cross, defeating the devil. I tell you what, Satan had sweat beads that day. He thought he was winning. He thought he was winning that morning. He thought he was winning when they pounded the nails into Jesus. He thought he was winning when they shoved the spear into Jesus' side. He thought he won. And the demons were probably shouting and dancing around him. I don't know, but they probably were, but they didn't realize it was their defeat. Their power was gone. The teeth were pulled out, Brother Bob. The weapons were taken away. Is all they can do is yell and roar and scream and deceive. And that's what we see around us today. That's why I'm not discouraged. That's why I know Jesus is at work. Praise the Lord. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. Did you hear that? Openly, before the universe. Triumphing over them in it. Jesus showed the whole world that I won when he was hanging on that cross. He said, this is your victory. I'm it. I'm here. I look like a body that people couldn't even look at as a human body. But on that cross was our victory. On our cross was that victory. That blood that was running down that cross, that was the power that washed away our sins. And that blood is the power that we use by faith to defeat that enemy that will try to deceive us, thinking he's still got the power. He doesn't got the power. His power's down the tube, way down. At Calvary, all of Satan's hate toward mankind, God, the Messiah, it erupted. Satan had been trying to kill Jesus for the last 33 years before the crucifixion at his birth. He tried using the tyrant Herod to kill all the boy babies under 2 years of age. Satan failed. He failed. He tempted Jesus in the wilderness to stray off the Father's plan. Satan failed. He failed. He set before the Lord the lust of the flesh, the eye, and the pride of life. Satan failed. I don't want to follow a failure. He tempted Jesus, body, soul, and spirit, and Jesus overcome with the word of God. Satan failed. Every step of the way, this character failed. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I have the victory. I have the victory because of what happened on Calvary's cross. I have the power, not in myself, but in Christ Jesus, because of what happened on the cross. Isn't that exciting? We can walk in that power. Jesus came to save you, but make no mistakes, he came here to battle with Satan. He came from heaven to earth, invaded the sphere of Satan's influence in Satan's territory. He came unwelcomed by the masses and hated by Satan. He came to overcome the enemy. What a commander-in-chief we have. How many of us want to walk into a battle when we know there's so much against us? I mean, just think, the whole world rejected Jesus. And then let alone the demon forces of hell and Satan trying to take him out all the way, trying to get to that cross. Just think, I wonder if Jesus was troubled as he was in the garden when he says, Father, if you can, paraphrasing, if you can stop this from happening, that'd be great. But not my will, your will be done. I wonder in his mind as he think, God, is the power really there? You don't think Satan put that in his mind? He's experienced it all. The Bible says he has. He's experienced every thought, everything that tried to bring defeat to us. He knows what it's like when you and I get fearful and wonder, am I going to make it? Is God really there? He wondered, is my Father there watching and making sure that I get to that cross? And when he was hanging on the cross, I wonder if he thought, am I going to make this? Am I going to quit before I'm done? Can you imagine the pain and the rejection? Looking at a world that he came into and looking out with his eyes over this world and thinking, why am I hanging here? Satan battled him right up to the end. There's no doubt about it. And he's going to battle you and I right up to the end should Jesus tarry. And we never give up. Why? Because we got the victory. That same Jesus that hung on Calvary's cross is the same Jesus that lives in me. And that's who we call upon in the time of trouble. You just say, Jesus, and the victory comes. It's a warfare, but the victory comes. In Jesus' inaugural address at the synagogue in Nazareth, he quoted in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. We need to call upon Jesus. Jesus saw humanity as bound, blind, brokenhearted, and bruised, and behind enemy's lines. That's what Jesus saw. He saw the disastrous effects of Satan's control on people's lives, their health, and their well-being. Through Jesus' ministry, he was constantly confronting the forces of hell and casting them out. Even while Jesus was being beaten and persecuted and trying to be taken out along the way, he still fought on our behalf, even there, casting out demon spirits out. He opened the eyes of the blind, and he's still opening the eyes of those blinded by Satan as he still sets the captives free. Jesus saw the destructive power of Satan and did something about it. Hallelujah! He did something about it. How many of us need to do something about the things in our lives, but we don't? Jesus did something. Many times we sit back and we allow this devil to beat us up and to take and to steal from us and to take what he shouldn't be able to take, because we sit back and do nothing. You know something? It takes energy, and it takes the power and the anointing of God to get up and to do something. When you just soon sit back and do nothing. When you just soon sit back and let somebody else deal with it. But you got to do something, don't we? See, we don't run from Satan. There's no weapons for our back. The weapons of our warfare are all frontal. That means we're facing the enemy. We're going charging and going in there to take him, to tear him down. Even though he's defeated, we get him out of our life. Those weapons are here for protection, not back here. Because who's back here? Goodness and mercy. I'll go if you go. Huh? That's who's behind us. When I hear Christians say, "Satan's been on my chasing me all day," and I thought, you got a problem. Because Satan's got to get through goodness and mercy to get to you. Because God is protecting. He's got my back. Remember we said that this morning? I got your back when I was back there, Bob? Jesus got my back. Goodness and mercy put back there. He says, "Now I'm calling you to go into the war. And I've given you the weapons of your warfare to conquer the devil in your life." Because he's a defeated foe. 1 John 3:8 says, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." That's Jesus. Hebrews 2:14 says, "For as much that as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." There he is again. There's our Jesus. Destroyed the devil. Everywhere through Scripture we see Jesus defeated the devil. When he was arrested, Jesus said to his arrester in Luke 22:53, "When I was daily with you in the temple, stretch forth no hands against me. This your hour and the power of darkness." The world Jesus ministered in was a world dominated by Satan. In 1 John 5:19 it says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." That's where we're at today, aren't we? We can see that. The apostle Paul had no doubt of what took place on the cross. Not just redemption of sins, but defeat of the devil. We got to remember that Jesus defeated the devil. Yes, he did. We have to remember that in our own personal lives, even though we fight that devil, that is all he can do is and deceive us. That's all he can do. He can't walk into your home like movie, like the Hollywood shows us, demon spirits coming through your TV and grabbing you and beating you up and all this stuff. Sure, he's got power to do certain manifestations in this world. But you know, when I was in the Ukraine and we were casting out demons out of people, I saw, we had one elderly lady there was so demon possessed, she was like a 2x4 laying on a chair. Literally. You could pick her up and probably hold her like this and nothing would flop down on her. And she was laying there and her eyes were way back in her head. She's totally demon possessed because she's fooling around with witchcraft. And Satan will come where he's invited. When we turn our TV on to pornography, Satan will come into your heart and he'll live there through pornography. If we come through any other lust, he'll come in and take control of that. This woman laid there, but you know something? I walked up, I laid hands on that woman's forehead with some brothers and sisters from the Ukraine, and she was delivered within a moment's time. I had nothing to do with it. I just put my hand, but Jesus was there because Jesus defeated that demon that had her bound. And you know something? She sat there with her hands on her face crying in her right mind. And she was no longer a 2x4, but she was a flexible coat hanger. I made that one up. Because, I mean, she, you know, she could bend. I express myself there. Colossians 2, 6 through 15 gives us a spiritual picture of what happened in the cosmic war that raged on Calvary. Paul shows us this and three main things that happened at the cross that the natural eye couldn't see. The cross disarmed Satan. Ever since the fall of man in Eden, humanity had been bullied, enslaved, bondage, held hostage, reigned over. Jesus came to spoil the devil's plan in Colossians 2:15. And having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. Jesus defeated the devil. Amen. I got to keep repeating that. Jesus defeated Satan. If Satan is seemingly having a hold upon your family, upon your lives in any way, you just need to take the stand and become a Christian, born again, full of the power of the Holy Spirit, and begin to warfare against that through the Word of God, against that demonic spirit that's trying to inflict your family, your home, or whatever. Because you got the power. Now, if there's sin in your life, I wouldn't be doing it. I'd be repenting first before I'd be trying to take on the devil. Disarm means to spoil. Did you hear that? Disarmed means spoiled, to strip or to rob. The word is in the aorist from which means one-time deal that will not be repeated. Once and for all, Jesus disarmed Satan. He doesn't have to do it again. Jesus does not have to disarm the devil again. He's disarmed at Calvary's cross. The devil isn't getting a rematch. The battle has been forever decided at Calvary's cross. The word picture in Colossians 2:15 again is of a fallen enemy who has been stripped of his sword, armor, shield, position, and wealth. Isn't that exciting? Aren't you excited to know that we serve such a powerful God? Scripture teaches that Satan has lost all of his rights and authority over all those who have bowed at the foot of the cross and received the precious blood of Christ at the atonement for their sin. Have you bowed at the cross? Have you received that blood and said, Lord, take your precious blood and wash away all my sins from the time I was born to where I'm here in this room today? And that's the power in the blood. What did Jesus rob Satan of? Romans 8:33-34. It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth it? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I think that is so neat to know that I got Jesus standing at the Father's right hand and he's making intercession for me. When I'm sinking low in discouragement and depression, I know that I got a Savior standing at the Father's side and he's making intercession for me against an enemy that's trying to onslaught me through the battling of my mind and the circumstances of my home and my family or whatever, that I got a Savior that's standing there saying, Father, Lynn needs our help and the Holy Ghost. I'm asking the Holy Ghost to give him comfort right now. He's making intercession for me. The devil's saying, yeah, but old Lynn there, he thought a bad thought. And God's saying, hey, it's under the blood. It's under the blood of Jesus. I see that my son is pure before my throne right now because of you, Jesus. Jesus is making intercession. Why? Because he defeated the devil at Calvary's cross. Amen? Satan has been robbed of his right to kill us. Satan has been robbed of his ownership of us, and he has no weapon and no way to keep us. That's why when you go into situations, you don't have to worry about the devil killing you. He can't. Only if God gave him permission. Just think Job. He couldn't do anything to Job. He had to go to God and ask God's permission to do anything he brought on Job. And God only let it go so far. Then God said, that's enough. Step away. Isn't that awesome? Again, Colossians 2:15. He made a public display of them. Jesus made a public display of the demons and all his cohorts. What Jesus did at the cross was in the face of the whole universe. Some would say that it was Jesus who has made a public display on the cross. Indeed, he was stripped of his garment, nailed to a cross, naked for all the world to see. He took our humiliation and everything. He hung on that cross naked. And as a Christian, we would look and say, there's nothing he can do. There he is. The devil beat him. Even stripped him naked before all for humiliation. And there he is hanging on the cross. And many times we look at our situations and we come to that defeatist attitude because we have an enemy that doesn't have any power, that can only lie to our minds and make us think we're gone and out, we're done with, there's no hope. But there is. Jesus was on that cross and he defeated Satan at that point. Mocked, ridiculed, if you are God, then come down off that cross, he said. There was another public spectacle going on in the unseen realm. In the spiritual realm, angels and demons to see. Christ exposed the devil and his demonic forces for what they really are. The disguise of the angel of light has been removed, and the devil's true nature was exposed. They saw him and his demons as the rotten, filthy, lying thieves they were. Satan and all of his hosts flurried themselves in full flurry against the seemingly helpless Son of God. Satan came as the destroyer, God killer. Now I'll have that throne. Can you hear him say that? And he says that in our lives too. He says, I'll have your home. I'll have your family. I'll have your finances. I'll have your health. No, he won't, because he is powerless. He's powerless. Satan has no power to take any of that stuff from us. He can only do it through deception. The Lord died to win the battle, and he rose from the dead to enforce the victory. Isn't that awesome? Jesus rose from the dead. In the cross, we see the fallen humanity, human sin, suffering, apathy. It was our sinful condition that brought our Savior to the cross. Jesus chose to die for his people because he knew the enemy as a strong man had a death grip on us. Our God is greater, stronger, higher than any other. That's the God we serve. And Jesus knew that you and I have not the power to take on that devil. And he came off his throne from heaven down here. And he became victorious on the cross. He sets the captives free from the stronger man because he's stronger. If you're bound in any way, I don't care how small, you can be set free by calling on Jesus. Philippians 2:9-11 says, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And you ladies sung that today. Gave him a name above every name. Say, you can say my name, Lyndon. And see, nobody got excited. Nobody shouted. Nobody jumped out of their chair. Some of you didn't even look at me, Lyndon. But you want to know something? God gave Jesus a name above every name, and at the name of Jesus, demons tremble. The demons may not look at Jesus either, but I can guarantee you one thing, they're trembling. And that's why we need to speak Jesus in faith, believing there's power in that name. Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When we say Jesus to our circumstance, demons start to let loose of their grip. Because when you stand in faith, it may take you some time. You may have to warfare an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year, or whatever. But if you keep speaking that name, Satan's got to let loose of that situation in your life eventually, because he's powerless. He can only lie to you and make think, I'll never let go. But he's got to let go, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Every knee. And if they don't bow here, they will bow at judgment. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. I want to do that now. I want to say Jesus Christ is Lord and do it out of love rather than out of having to. Because someday on Judgment Day, even the demons of hell who can't stand that name is going to have to say Jesus Christ is Lord against their will. But greater is the one who's going to say, say it! And they're going to speak it forth. And he's going to say to those rebellious people that say, hey, I'm not going to bow to any God. God's going to look at him and he's going to say, bow to Jesus. Amen. And they will bow. Because stronger is he than any other situation or God in this world. Amen? Colossians 2:15 again, triumph means a complete and irretrievable conquering. No coming back in the 10th inning. No shots made at the buzzer. It's done. The triumph is complete and it was all done for us, meaning we can walk in power and perpetual victory due to the cross. Why is the cross not being preached today? Satan knows. Satan knows. I just got a magazine. I don't know if some of you get that, called Israel My Glory. If you don't, you need to get it. It's one of the best informative and scriptural magazines out there. You need to get it. I'm going to try to get a speaker from there to come in here. But I tell you what, he was talking about the apostasy of the church today. And it's a scary thing. People sitting in churches, they don't hear about the cross anymore. Right. And it seems like victory is there. They're happy people, their community, they're all this good stuff. But you want to know why? Satan will not attack something that he's got control over. But get on fire for Jesus once. Start living for Jesus. Start living the word. Start preaching the word. Start speaking the word. Start speaking Jesus' name, and you'll have hell come against you. And you don't need to be fearful when it happens. Because greater is he that is in me. And Jesus beat the devil on Calvary's cross. You notice how I'm being repetitious? But we're leaky vessels, so it's good to get it in there, isn't it? Huh? Keep filling it up. The only way you can win, have victory, is the application of the blood of Jesus to your sins. Secondly, if you're a believer, then the only way Satan can attack you is if you've given him access into your life. That means permission and authority to be there. And some Christians have. They won't let go of certain things. They want to keep it, but they're going to deal with the devil when they do it. And when you do that, you give devil lordship over your life rather than God himself. And why would you want to serve a defeated foe? But so many do. They'll fight you tooth and nail when you bring the word and tell them something. Well, this is what the Bible says. I don't care what the Bible says. You interpret the way you want to. You go ahead. You interpret the way you want to. You interpret it different than I do. No, I don't. I just read it to you. I'm not interpreting nothing. This is what it says. You know, I tell you what. Be on fire for Jesus. If you've been living a rebellious life, you have put a doormat out for the enemy to come in and enslave you. Many Christians live in defeat, depression, discouragement that neither bring the Lord honor, glory for service to him. Churches get filled with Christians who live under bondage and have become weak, lazy, scared, bound in the chains of legalism. A church where Christians who live under these things are wasting the victory that Jesus secured at Calvary. I tell you what, it's great to walk through a supermarket and the Holy Spirit will speak to you, go speak to that person, and you can go speak to them and realize when you walked up them, that is the person that God wanted me to talk to. Man, they have problems, and I've got the answer to help them through. Jesus didn't die to fill the church full with disease, depressed people, and bondage to the enemy. Conclusion, there is victory in Jesus every day. When Satan comes, we should be reminding him of our Savior and the victory at the cross. If he accuses us, we remind him of the forgiveness that we have received through Jesus. If he tries to tempt us, we let our Lord's word foul him. That means this. Get thee hence, Satan. You speak the word. Lastly, if he touches you, your mind, your family, your body, we declare that he has no authority over God's property. He has no authority whatsoever. Let's all stand in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many in here would raise your hand and say, I need that victory today? Mine's already up, so I beat you to it. Mine's already up. I need the victory. I need it. You may not need it today, but you might need it tomorrow, but I need that victory. I need the Holy Spirit to remind me that I walk in victory. Amen? Heavenly Father, every hand that's raised right in here, Lord, every person standing in this room today, I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit will manifest in their lives this week. And Lord, we ask that you, your Comforter, the Holy Ghost, would remind us that we have victory through the cross. We have victory through Jesus who hung on that cross, and that by his shed blood, we have power over Satan and over sin and over everything in our life. And through that blood, my sins are washed away. And if there's condemnation in this room, they can be rid of that condemnation by coming to that cross where there's victory because of what Jesus did. Jesus made it possible a victory in every avenue of our life. And I pray for every person here today, right now, that knows their struggles, knows their situations, knows their habits, knows everything, but they need victory. I pray that victory become reality this day, this week, in Jesus' name, that we can be a church on fire for you, Lord, because I believe when you puff Crossfire Assembly, it's going to be puffed. And it's going to be puffed not for our glory, but it's going to be puffed for the glory of the one who hung on Calvary's cross, who defeated the devil in each one of our lives. We will not permit Satan to take control of us, our minds, our ways of life, or anything in Jesus' name. And I pray that over every home that's represented here today. And Lord, I just pray blessings upon every person in here. I pray that my brothers and sisters in here, this remnant church that you started here, with many others, Lord, that you will anoint us, use us in these days that we live, that we will walk in the victory, not for our glory, but that we may be a witness to those around us, to fellow believers that have went the other way, fellow believers that have bought the lie, that we can be an influence in their life because we walk in the power of victory of the Word of God. And we thank you, we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. Hallelujah. I sense God here today.
Oh yeah.
I sense it. You know, when you talk on the cross, when you preach on the cross, I believe the power of God is present because Jesus is our victory.
Amen.
I got another sermon coming. You better get out of here.